and welcome to the Star Trek Rebellion podcast. In this segment, we're going to read from the logs of the USS Zion. Join us now for the first episode of our adventures, The Zion Cometh, read by Craig and Dave.
John Wright sat in the observation lounge and watched as a work crew in EVA suits finished putting the name on the massive Sovereign-class starship. The USS Zion, he said to no one in particular. John was very impressed, as it was indeed a wonderful ship. He considered himself lucky to be assigned to such a ship. He was surprised when he got his order to join her crew. He had been on an extended leave of absence and was just returning to active duty. John looked around the room. It was empty except for a young ensign, who was also looking at the ship. John was amused as he noticed the young man's jaw hung wide open. "Is this your first assignment, Ensign?" he asked. "Yes, sir," replied the nervous kid. "She sure is a big ship, sir." "That she is," John agreed. "Well, I better be going, sir," said the ensign. "I just wanted to see her." "Very well. See you on board, Ensign." The ensign left, and John decided that it was time to go as well. He needed to report to the captain. Taking one look back at the Zion, he said, "Beautiful." John left in search of the captain.
John walked into Quark's and looked around. Off to the corner, John saw Captain Hunter sitting by himself. He approached his new captain. "Good afternoon, Captain Hunter. I'm John Wright, your new XO," he said, extending his hand towards the captain. With a smile, Ian stood up and shook John's hand. "John, glad to meet you. Care to join me for a drink?"
"Absolutely. Thank you."
John sat down across from Ian. "I have to admit, I am anxious to get aboard the Zion. She is a magnificent-looking ship. Any word on when we can move in?" Ian smirked. "You are as anxious as I am," he said, taking a sip from his glass of whiskey. "I'm meeting with the Admiral tomorrow." John ordered a dark beer and asked, "So, are any of the senior staff here yet, or are we going to pick them up?" "Nope," said Ian as he leaned back, setting his glass on the table. "You are the first to arrive." "I look forward to this assignment," said John as he took a drink. "We're taking on a crew of about 600 enlisted and about 80 officers here at Kultuk. When we fly out, we'll rendezvous with the USS Kitty Hawk. She's bringing the surviving members of my senior staff." Ian's eyes glazed away for several moments. "We'll shake down the Zion after that." John appeared surprised. "Surviving members?" he asked. "That does not sound good." Introspectively, Ian replied, "It wasn't." He drew a long breath. John's face told Ian that his response wasn't going to be sufficient. Ian stared at the ice cube he swirled in his glass as he continued, "We were responding to reports of a Federation incursion near Deneb 4. Three Federation Akiras and a Marine cruiser were waiting for us. It wasn't pretty. We got beat up pretty bad. We had our way with the first two Akiras, eventually took out the Marine's engine and the other Akira's weapons. But," Ian paused, "our shields were gone, torpedoes were gone, big chunks of the ship were gone. Maneuvering thrusters were barely functioning." Ian shook his head. "The Hood put up a good fight, but I lost a lot of good men that night," he said, looking up at John, "including my first officer." "I see," said John a bit uncomfortably. "I bet you're looking forward to seeing them again." "I can't wait until we meet them. I've not seen some of them for a very long time. I think you will agree they're top-notch. They're both comrades in arms and my friends. So, John, what's your story? First a doctor, now a commanding officer."
"I was a doctor, actually. Still am. I keep current on all my certifications and new procedures. I guess I just wanted more. The truth is, I enjoyed the administrative duties I had on the Comfort almost as much as the medical ones." John took another drink. "I have to admit, I was a little surprised being chosen for this assignment. However, pleased at the same time."
"Surprise?" smiled Ian. "You shouldn't be. You come highly recommended. Besides, your reputation precedes you." Many people know what you did, saved many lives on the Comfort. You stepped up to your responsibilities and saw the situation through as well as it could. Ian held up his glass. To fallen comrades. John held up his glass. To fallen friends and loved ones. They took a drink. John finished his drink and stood up. Well, Captain, I look forward to our journey together. I will see you tomorrow, sir. Ian stood up too. As do I, he replied. Perhaps after my meeting we can locate the engineering officer and have him or her give us a tour of the ship. I understand it even has a cloaking device. Very good, sir. Have a good night. John left Quark's.
The captain materialized on the transporter pad. He was greeted by four crewmen standing at attention. Someone announced, "Captain on deck!" A female ensign in a gold uniform stepped forward to greet the captain. "Welcome aboard. I'm Ensign Forrester," she said promptly, saluting him. "Everyone at ease," said the captain, with a smile. He stepped off the transporter pad and handed the transporter. "Everyone at ease," said the captain with a smile. He stepped off the transporter pad and handed the transporter crew two pads. "My things, Ensign," he said. "I travel light." The crewman made some adjustments in the transporter control and energized the transporter. A tabby cat materialized. The cat jumped off the transporter pad and came to the captain when he whistled. The captain said to the transporter crewman, "Beam the rest of my belongings to my quarters. The fish goes in my ready room." The crewman gave the captain a perplexed look. "Some of these items are weapons." The captain smiled. "Oh, of course, my collection," he said with a grin. "Don't lose them." He picked up his cat and followed Forrester to deck two. "I'm sure you will find the quarters to your liking, sir." Hunter set the cat down and stood up. "Of course, Ensign, thank you." When the ensign left, Hunter closed his eyes. His nostrils took in the fresh and brand new smell of the room. It was an honor to have a brand new ship. A few moments later, his luggage materialized. He unpacked his uniforms and other clothing. He set some isolinear storage devices containing his favorite replicator recipes and holo simulations on his desk. He looked over the quarters. Seeing Chester had already found a spot, he headed up to the bridge. Ensign Forrester greeted Rianne as she stepped off the transporter pad with an extended hand. "Welcome aboard the USS Zion, Rianne. I'll assist you in getting settled in and orientated to the ship. If you have any questions, let me know," she said. "Yes, ma'am," replied Rianne. "Step over to the computer console and we'll get you authorized." She walked to the console across from the transporter control and nodded to the transporter chief. The computer console displayed Rianne's DNA patterns and began processing her records. A moment later, the computer said, "Please state your full name for the record." "Rianne," she said. The computer chimed, "Authorization completed." "Okay," Forrester said, smiling. "Let's go down to your quarters. The transporter crewman will beam your belongings directly there." Rianne followed Forrester to the turbolift. "Deck 6," she instructed the computer. She turned to Rianne and said, "The captain asked me to make sure you had a good room. I think you'll like this one. It's one of the few with a forward-facing portal. I hope you like it." The turbolift opened and they stepped out. Just a few doors down from the turbolift was Rianne's quarters. There were also a nearby turbolift in case you need to respond to a security emergency. They stepped inside. "Officers' quarters are equipped with Type 2 replicators, suitable for beverages, snacks, and small meals. You have a meeting with the captain at 09:30. Is there anything else that I can help you with?" "No, ma'am," replied Rianne. "Thank you very much for all the assistance." Ensign Forrester bid Rianne a good day and dismissed herself. After Forrester left, Rianne went to the replicator and ordered a coffee. She was surprised that everything was all ready. She wasn't sure where to start, but was in no great rush. After putting out a few things to make it look somewhat like she was at home, and finishing her coffee, Rianne placed her cup back in the replicator. Not knowing the ship very well, Rianne decided to leave early to meet the captain. She preferred to be early, not late.
Captain Hunter sat down and put his feet on his desk. He closed his eyes and listened to the silence. He knew what he was about to do would set in motion a chain of events that would change everything. Hell, if the ship's tour was successful, they might even shape the future. He was ready to stir the beast to life.
In a sense, thought Hunter, the ship is sort of alive after all. Commander Wright, please report to my ready room. On my way, replied Wright. Wright was still on call tuck. He tapped his comm badge again. Wright to Zion, one to beam up. A few moments later, the transporter cycle completed, and he found himself standing in the transporter room. Leaving the transporter room, Wright entered a nearby turbo lift. Deck one, he said. Wright entered a very quiet bridge and rang the chime on the captain's ready room. Enter, said Captain Hunter. Hunter stood up and greeted Wright with a handshake. He gestured for Wright to have a seat as he sat down. Well, number one, I've spoken with the Admiral and he's officially turned the Zion over to us. Are you ready to get to work? Asked Captain Hunter. Wright smiled. Absolutely, Captain. I met with operations and they already have a plan for loading the crew. Transporter staff are already at their posts. We will begin loading by departments. Security and operations will be first. Kelly Forrester in operations has already assigned crew quarters. She's taking care of lodging. Captain Hunter leaned back in his chair. A slight smile graced his face. He knew he had picked the right man for the job. Excellent, number one. I will meet later this morning with the tactical officer. Since the rest of your command crew has not yet arrived on the Kitty Hawk, I suggest we have the tactical officer, Wright checked his pad, Westfall, act as head of security. I will ask him to set up a security plan. That sounds reasonable, said Hunter. It looks like you have matters well in hand. Go ahead and make final preparations for your plan. Well done, number one. Thank you, sir. I aim to please, said Wright. Captain Hunter stood up. Very well, Commander, he said with a grin. Carry on. Yes, sir, said Wright. He was looking forward to this assignment. Sarek stepped off the transporter pad. It had been a long flight from Vulcan back to Kultuk Station. He had packed his things and was very anxious to get settled into his new quarters. As he stepped off the transporter pad, to his surprise he saw a familiar face. He raised an eyebrow. Sarek, it's good to see you. It's been a long time, said Captain Hunter. 3 years, 45 days, 7 hours, sir. He failed to understand the logic of stating how long someone had been away. Sarek, I'm grateful that you have accepted this position. Your expertise as science officer and diplomat will no doubt contribute to the success of many missions. Hunter smiled at the Vulcans. I'm honored to serve you again, Captain. Thank you for the compliment. Doug, Cindy, Silvio, and Anak, along with the rest of the surviving officers of the Hood, will be rendezvousing with us on the Shakedown flight. They're coming on the USS Kitty Hawk. Unless the Admiral has any other plans for us, I'm anxious to pick up where we left off. Hunter nodded and gestured toward the door. As both men stepped out into the corridor, Hunter continued his conversation. Have you had a chance to review the ship's specifications? He said. I have studied the ship. She's a very capable one, and for many different tasks that may lie ahead. Good, said Hunter. I've arranged for quarters on Deck 2. And unless you need something else, I have not yet inspected the quarters, but judging from the experience, you have provided me with suitable quarters. Hunter nodded. Go ahead, then, and get yourself moved in. If you don't have any questions, you're dismissed. And Sarek, again, thanks. You are welcome, Captain, and may I say that you are invited by my wife to join us for dinner when we are on Vulcan. That is a very large compliment for a Vulcan to say.
Right to Ensign Westfall. Please report to my office. Aye, aye, sir. I'll be there in under 5 minutes, Westfall replied. Jeff finished his morning coffee from the replicator in the mess hall and left. 3 minutes later, breathing heavily, Westfall entered Wright's office. The commander motioned for him to sit down. Good morning, Ensign. The head of security has not yet arrived. He is due to arrive on the USS Kitty Hawk. The captain and I would like you to act in his capacity until he arrives. Do you think you're able to do that? Asked Wright. Aye, sir. I have had some experience with security as ship's tactical officer. My training includes familiarity with all Maquis Alliance command security, communications, tactical, offensive, and defensive planning, countermeasures, surveillance, and containment protocols, Jeff Westfall replied smoothly, as if reading items off a restaurant menu board. Good. We need to have a security plan created. Operations has already started bringing people on board. You will need to organize a security department to provide coverage on all decks. There will also be a dedication ceremony tomorrow that will need a security detail. Wright paused. Any questions? There are actually a couple of relevant questions. First question, where is the dedication ceremony being held, and at what time? Can I assume about 25 VIP guests plus whatever ship's company are already on board Station Kultuk? Actually, the ceremony will be on the station's observation deck at 1400. You may want to contact station security and touch base with them. Afterwards, there will be a reception in the ship's lounge, said Wright. I assume full dress uniform, sir? Westfall queried. Yes, Wright replied. Next, a recommendation. The USS Zion is a massive ship, and I believe the security officers already on Kultuk assigned to us represent a skeleton staff. I'd like to suggest that I test the containment systems by erecting force fields around unused portions of the ship, such as the marine deck. That way, we're not using security officers as traffic cops, just to keep the tourists out of sensitive areas. You are in charge. You may use your best judgment, said Wright. Let me know if you need anything further from me. Yes, sir, replied Westfall. Very good, Ensign. Carry on.
The captain stood next to the XO on the edge of the observation deck. It was crammed with people. He neither liked crowds nor dress uniforms. He tugged at his uniform, trying to make it more comfortable. Admiral Aldous emerged from the corridor. He was followed by a number of dignitaries, including Captain Worf from the Klingon fleet that he commanded, that was Kultuk Protection, Commander Data from the USS Sovereign, and Commander Hawkins, the new CO of Kultuk. Captain Hunter and Commander Wright saluted the Admiral as he walked by. They turned and followed the procession to the front of the observation deck, where a small platform and a podium had been erected. The group mingled briefly until 1400. When Admiral Steve Aldous stepped to the podium, holding his hands up for silent attention, he looked over at the media director, who nodded, confirming everything was okay to proceed. This dedication ceremony was being shown throughout Kultuk at the Admiral's request. It was also being recorded and would be sent to all ships in the Maquis Alliance so that everyone in the Maquis could be a part of what the Admiral was about to say. Thank you, he said once the general murmur of the crowd had died down. For those of you who have the pleasure of not knowing me, I am Admiral Steve Aldous, Fleet CO of the Maquis Alliance. Thank you for coming along to see the completion of yet another of our Sovereign-class ships. Now, I know you're all wanting to get back to your conversation, the drinks and the food, he smiled. And there was a polite laughter. So I'll keep this brief. For too long now, we have been involved in a civil war that has seen many of us leave our homes, and often our families. The circumstances have allowed us to choose leaving behind what we held dear. But it hasn't been an easy choice, I know. He looked around them, noticing that some of those present had the look in their eyes that showed they were with him, remembering people that they had left behind on Earth or other planets. He nodded slowly and continued. We've been at war with our families and our friends for too long. It's time we stop reacting as we have done in the past. It's time we change the style of our involvement. He looked around at the curious faces before him. It's time we stopped reacting with war and started reacting with peace. There was an applause, which faded as he held up his hands. The USS Zion is the first phase of our new strategy, to react with diplomacy rather than with combat. He looked at Captain Hunter, who was looking surprised, and he smiled at the captain before returning his attention to the audience. He spoke slowly so as to get his message across. The best position to react against the aggression is with diplomacy, and is a position of strength, a position that allows us to dictate the terms of the negotiation. The USS Zion, along with other Sovereign classes in the fleet, will react to aggression with non-aggression. Yes, they will likely be fired upon, but they will do everything they can, short of sacrificing themselves, to reestablish peace between the Maquis
and the Federation. They will do everything they can to return you to your loved ones. Admiral Stone, looking out in the corner, shook his head in disbelief. The crowd erupted in applause again, laughing with each other. The feelings of returning to family and friends still within the Federation had brought before them. The Admiral glanced at Captain Hunter, smiling at him again. After a few moments, he brought his hands up for the crowd to become quiet again. The ship's quote, the Zion's captain had chosen, is an appropriate one. I give you Captain Hunter, the captain of the USS Zion, who can talk more about that. As the crowd clapped again, Admiral Aulis stepped down from the podium and shook hands with Captain Hunter. Thank you, Admiral, said Hunter. It is an honor to be the captain of the fleet's newest starship. With that honor comes responsibility and duty. Hunter paused. The crew of this ship and her captain are sworn to uphold the values and ideals of the new Federation. We are emissaries, warriors, and explorers, but most importantly, we are here to boldly answer the call of hope. He paused as the crowd clapped lightly. I'd like to introduce the USS Zion's executive officer, Commander Wright. Captain Hunter stepped aside, and Wright stepped up to the podium. Good afternoon. Today marks a bright new beginning, the beginning of a most beautiful ship, the USS Zion. Zahn paused for a small round of applause. Let us also hope that this mark is a different kind of beginning, the beginning of the end of this terrible war that has torn us apart. John turned to Commander Hawkins and continued, Commander Hawkins, would you please be so kind as to start the wonderful ship on her new beginning? Commander Hawkins held up a small device and pressed a button. Being the CO of Koltuk and its shipyards, he had the honor of sending the ship off. A bottle of champagne jettisoned from a small hatchway and traveled towards the Zion, shattering against its hull. The crowd again applauded at their approval of the USS Zion. Used its thrusters to move out of its docking bay. It moved only a short distance, a ceremonial representation of a ship in Earth history being released from its dock to a slide a short way into the water. As everyone returned to the conversation in the party, Admiral Aulis left, accompanied by Hawkins. Commander Data and Worf stood watching for a while. I am fascinated at how humans interact at social occasions like these, Data finally said to Worf. You can learn so much about the social niceties of different races when they all get together like this. Bah, grunted Worf, turning to leave. Data cocked his head, thinking about what Worf had said, and followed him, and the party continued as the doors closed behind him. This concludes part one of Zion Cometh, the early stories of the USS Zion and its crew. Listen for more podcasts coming soon as we continue our adventures. If you're interested in joining, please visit us at www.usszion.com.